Standing on the Rock of Ages. Mighty fine. Good job, Nancy. The solo there. Choir and Nancy and all of you. Crystal and Shirley for playing. Appreciate it. Take your Bibles now and turn with me again to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We got some good response from last Sunday. I thought I'd just preach this same sermon again. Is that okay?
I didn't get to hear it.
Oh, you didn't get to hear it. Okay. No, it's not the same one. It's just a continuation. Like I said last Sunday, there was so much in this particular passage of Scripture. Paul talking about young people, how to reach them, and the biblical way of doing that. I wanted to just continue this particular message on this topic, biblical keys to reaching youth or our young people today. And I want to begin with verse 19. I know the key verses is 22 and 23, but I want to back up to verse 19 because this lets us know that Paul, he wanted to reach everyone. It didn't matter if they're Jew, Gentile, or what. He was out to reach everybody for the cause of Christ. And that's what our responsibility, and that should be our desire as a church, as Christians, to do today. No matter if we're here or people in another country, if we have an opportunity to do so, we should be like Paul. Go forth. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 19. For though I am free from all men, who made him free? Christ did, didn't he? I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. Now, Paul, he's real good about talking about things that are, you know, talking about the law. Of course, we're not under law. We're under the grace of God. But if you really wanted to get into a twister, read Romans chapter 7. He said, I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I do, I don't want to do, and the things I don't do, I should do. So, it's kind of one of those twisters. Now, verse 22. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. And you might look at that word save, S-A-V-E, win some. Of course, you know who does the saving, right? The Lord Jesus Christ does the saving. And we are the instruments or the tools he uses to win some to Christ. In verse 23, I do all things for the sake of the gospel so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. There was a conversation overheard between a father and his son who was an architectural student in a certain university. And the father told the son that he must study to please the people if he wanted to succeed in building a profitable profession. And the boy's reply to this was, I cannot consent to try to please people who have no artistic knowledge or natural sense of beauty. He goes on to say, I would rather be great than to be rich. Millionaires there are in plenty. Some of them both useless and offensive. I am willing to be poor all my life if I can do something towards educating the people to high ideals for their homes and public buildings. When I read that and saw that, you know, that young man could not have paid a higher compliment to his teacher. So evidently his teacher had made some kind of influence on this young man to not to stoop down to the elements of what the world expects today. Now, there is no greater work in the world than to put high ideals into the minds and hearts of young people, whether the young men or young women. Now, the youth with high ideals will in the end rise far above the ones who have low ones. Now, I want to share some of the things that I didn't get to share last week pertaining to Paul's biblical views or insights of reaching people or young people or our youth today. And the first one today is, Paul found non-religious ways to speak in the language of his audience. He used non-religious ideals or insights to reach young people. See, young people want to know if you can speak their language. Is that true, young people? You want us adults to speak your language. How many of you, when you were young, the adults spoke your language? They didn't do it very well, did they? Even us as parents don't speak the right language to our children sometimes, because they're in a different air today than, you know, when I was young, my grandfather was telling me a lot of things that he did when he was a little boy, and I could not identify with that because I wasn't brought up in the days of Depression. Because, far as I'm concerned, I had it great. I didn't have to worry about a meal. I didn't have to worry about a roof on my head, transportation, whatever, schooling, whatever. You know, I didn't have to worry about making 25 cents a day when I was making $1.40 an hour, you know. So we don't understand a lot of times, and we do not relate to our young people the reality of their day when we have lived in yesterday. So they are interested to know if you can identify on their level and within their cultural framework. And in order for us to be able to do that, we need to ask the Lord and trust Him to help us learn the best way to speak in terms that young people will understand the essentials of God's truths. And see, God's truth is for every one of us. And He speaks to us in different ways, on different levels of our understanding. And the more that we know about God's truth, the more that we will understand the day's culture and trends that affect us as adults, young people, or children. So, you know, reading translations is, you know, confusing sometimes, but the Holy Spirit is going to come down to our level, just like we need to come down to the level of children and understand that they have a receptive heart. And if we relate to them in a way that they can understand, they will be receptive. And that's what we as adults need to do today in order to reach our young people who are not always in our presence or in the church. So we need to ask the Lord and trust Him to help us in that area. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, and this is what Paul said, and he was always relating to this. He was always getting on the level, and he was saying, the message that the Lord gave me. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, you can write this down in the margin there on your outline, but he says, my message and my preaching was not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. You understand that? He said, I didn't use persuasive words. I wasn't trying to have more wisdom or demonstrate that. But he said, I wanted to demonstrate what my message in the Spirit's power. So when we do that, that means that we're on the level of what the Holy Spirit is teaching us to pass on to other people. In you know, sometimes, you know, Paul says sometimes we don't know how to pray. If we don't know how to pray, what do? Well, James chapter 1, verse 5 says ask for wisdom. But also, if we don't know how to pray, then we are more dependent upon the Spirit of God to pray through us. Give us the words. And sometimes we can just be silent and the Holy Spirit takes over from there and gives us understanding. So secondly, Paul used his God-given personality and gifts to reach people. And see, we don't need to think that we have to be something we are not to reach youth or young people. See, we need to let God's truth, His love, His grace come through the personality He has gifted each one of us. You see, God has given us a level of understanding, and He has given us each truth to be able to demonstrate and to use to reach different people. And that's why there's so many churches in the world, isn't there? There's so many churches in Ripley County. You know, we might not be able to reach everyone. So, you know, some churches do things a little bit different than we do. All churches do something different. But we're all doing it for the same cause, to reach people for Christ. And Paul said, you know, I stoop down to the weak or whatever the status that people are, that I might reach some. So if we're not accustomed of relating to a lot of people, then ask God, so how can I do that? Teach me. Give me understanding. Through the gifts that you have given me, help me to reach out. And that's what Paul is saying here in this scripture here. So we need to ask the Lord to give us the ability to use whatever He has to meet the needs of youth through loving, through caring, through understanding, through relationships. You see, friends have a way of communicating across cultural barriers because they see through all our human limitations. Thirdly, Paul gave people answers to their present problems. When you ask somebody a question, do you like an answer? But you don't want a made-up answer, do you? And if you don't have one, let them know. So I don't have that answer, but can I get back with you? Let me pray about this. Let me study about this. Don't give some superficial answer to someone and they look at you, knowing at the same time that's not the way it is. And young people know that. Children know that. I've heard people say that's not the way it is at all. I heard somebody say this week, I would agree with you, but we would both be wrong. Have you ever heard that? And you might say too, you know, you have a right to be wrong. And that's what young people are saying to us sometimes. You know, you have a right to be wrong, but that's not the way it is in our culture, in our lives. See, youth want to know the answers to questions they are facing today, and I tell you, they're facing a lot of situations today. I don't know if anyone has answers to, but I know that God does. And we can find out if we will study His Word and put them to reverent understanding in the eyes of our young people. See, they're not ready to wait for solutions for problems. they will face many years from now. See, Paul wrote, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and self-discipline. See, that's what he told Timothy. See, Timothy had a lot of fears. He had a lot of insecurities in his life, probably as a young minister. And Paul said, okay, remember your background. Look at your spiritual heritage. Look where you've come from, Timothy. So God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but see, he has equipped you. He has given you the power and love and self-discipline. Now, if we can pass that on to our young people or to someone else, then they will have a better understanding where we are in our own life. See, our responsibility is call attention to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of each young person who God puts in our path today. That's our responsibility. See, the Holy Spirit comes to comfort, to encourage, and personally instruct each one of us through the empowering of God's Word. See, that's what the work of the Holy Spirit is. You know, when I was a young man, I always heard the preacher preach about the Holy Spirit, and I thought, well, I really like that. I really like knowing more about the Holy Spirit. And I went to that pastor, and he was my pastor at that time, and I was a teenager, and I said, you know, I hear you preaching about the Holy Spirit, so I want to know how I can get in touch with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit work in my life like you're talking about. He said, Mike, you're a little bit young for that right now. He said, just wait till you mature and develop a little bit more and you better understand. Was that a good answer? Why, it wasn't to me. That was a turnoff to me. And I thought, well, if you're not going to tell me, I guess it's left up to me to find out for myself. So, through my studies as a young person and through 4 years of Bible college and 4 years of seminary and all the others continued work, I made it a point to find out what the Holy Spirit is all about, how He works in our lives, and how we can pass that on to someone else who is not well-developed spiritually in their life to understand that the Holy Spirit is always present, always at work, and always ready to energize the power that He has given us when He moved in at the day that we were saved to live in our lives and to direct us and show us His will and purpose in our life. You know, that's what it is. It's surrendering and yielding to the Holy Spirit every moment, every day of our life. And the more that we can help young people or anyone else understand that they have, all they have to do is say, Lord, I need you now. I need you now. And you see, the Holy Spirit will assist you in that need, that very moment. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 18, as I was saying a while ago, without reading, quoting this verse, but it says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. That means don't run around with half-filled cup. Is your cup half full or half empty? It's always half full, right? Right. But you see, being filled, that means overflowing with the Spirit. That means, as I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, you've got all the Spirit you're going to get. When you were saved, the Holy Spirit indwelled your life. Now, you've got all the Spirit you're going to get. You know what we need? We need to allow the Holy Spirit to get more of us. And then when He gets more of us, then our lives are going to be different. And that's why Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, 18 says, be filled with the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And that's the whole problem of our lives. We're trying to gratify the flesh, and we're pushing the Holy Spirit out of our life. He's there, but he's not useful. We're not using his presence in our life the way we should. So, in order for us to understand that, that's why Galatians says, be filled with the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For if you are led by the Spirit, see, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under, and here Paul goes again, under the law. Because the law, you know, really, back then, was enslaving people to do things that the law that was created, developed at that time, the Pharisees and so forth, you know, they pressed upon it. They pushed it on other people, was not living themselves. So Paul is saying, you're not under law because I've been freed by the grace of God to live a life through him. Now, a fourth thing here. Paul went out looking for the lost, lonely, and hurting sheep. And we don't need to think that young people will come to church, that they'll just come to church. We've got to go out and find them in their fields where they are, where the sheep hang out, more or less what I'm saying. So what we need to do, unless we leave the walls of this church, most young people will go on just disappearing. We must leave the walls of our church, or we are going to leave them lost. And you heard the statistics I gave you last week, and I'm not going to repeat those, but they're astounding that to understand that our young people, or people in general today, are not in church where they need to be, in the fellowship with others, Christians, learning about the Lord and how gracious he is. So we need to ask the Lord to give us the wisdom to go where they are and meet them and interact and minister to them on the turf where they feel comfortable. And number five, Paul presented a relationship instead of a religious system to believe in. See, if you read in the Bible, you understand that Jesus was about relationships. He was about relationships, not just the religious system, because the religious system in this world cannot save you. Right? Because there's so many different religions in this world, and the problem to a lot of young people, which one do I really believe in? It's very confusing when different religions or denominations are teaching different things about Jesus Christ, that he is just a prophet or a good man. He is our Savior, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He came into this world to die on the cross for our sins, and without him, we are doomed to everlasting hell. And if we don't share that with young people, and, you know, our young people see so many things on TVs, on movies and stuff that are so destructive and everything, are the public in general sees all of these devastating things on TV, nothing affects them anymore. You ever think about that? And everything is becoming so adaptive, and we become so satisfied or set back or stagnated in our own lives that nothing really affects us anymore. Whether it be the church or Christians, but until we open our eyes and our hearts to to the world system and what Satan is trying to do in our world, then we're going to continue to have our blinders on. And Paul says, in order for us to reach people, we need to be empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, number six, Paul put the message of the gospel in the attractive package. And one of the reasons that young people are buying the devil's goods is because he is good at marketing, isn't he? He's very good at marketing. The world, the flesh, the devil offers young people guilt, disappointment, regrets, and death, but in the package that appeals to them. And we have Jesus, right? We have Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, as John 14:6 says. We have him. You see, that's our package. And that's the one that we are to promote and pass on to our young people. But oftentimes we fail to package him in a way that is appealing to the average young person. Could it be that our packaging is, I don't like to say this word, but boring, dry, non-reverent to their cultural norms of their world today? Ron Hutchcraft wrote a book a few years ago, Reaching the Global Youth, Culture, and Evangelizing Contemporary Youth. And I want to share six key things. These kind of paraphrase of what way he put it, but it makes sense to what Paul is saying here. These would be the six keys to reaching our young people or people in general today. And as I read, I want to read verses 22 and 23 again. And this is what Paul is saying. To the weak, I became weak. Do you get that? To the weak. He said, I might be strong where I am in the Lord. But in order to reach those people that have less understanding of where I am. You see, Paul, he was way up here at one time, wasn't he? I mean, he was going about persecuting Christians, churches, and so forth. And what did God do? He brought him down a few levels. He made him weak. And Paul hadn't forgot that. He said, now I understand. God brought me down to a different understanding of what I was supposed to be doing. So he said, I'm just not to go about doing the things that I thought I should be doing, but to reach all people. See, Paul was Jew. Now, Paul was reaching out to Gentiles. So he's saying, it doesn't matter who they are, I became weak. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some or win some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. So, you might want to jot these down. I think this would be a way for us to understand what Paul was meaning in these two verses here. He found common ground with those he ministered to. You see, he made it his purpose to get on their level, to reach the weak. He became weak. So he found common ground with those he ministered to. Similar goals, similar interests, and similar activities. That's what Paul did. Secondly, he avoided a condescending attitude, but humbled himself to identify on the level with those he ministered to. I'm quite amazed very often as I've been going to camp for 25 years. as camp pastor for grades 4 through 6. I'm quite amazed to meet these young people now on the street sometime, and they see me, and they say, "You know who I am?" I said, "I want to. I'm not sure who you are, but I want to know who you are." Well, I came to camp for years and years and years. And you remember when you said this, or you did this object lesson, and you did this? I said, "I remember some of that, but I'm not always sure what I say." And they said, "Well, I haven't forgotten that, and I think about it often." You see, that's what I'm talking about. Getting down on the levels of children, young people, and understanding what they're thinking and how to implement the things that they're dealing with so that they can make sense of it and glorify God in their lives. You see, okay, the next thing. He made others feel accepted for those who they were. Jack Kemp said, "People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care." Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Next, he developed a loving and trusting relationship with the people he ministered by the power of the Spirit. And there I go back to the power of the Spirit. I hope you don't get tired of hearing that. But that's how he ministered to people. He developed a loving and trusting relationship with the people he ministered to by the power of the Spirit. See, he was energized. That's why Paul often says, be filled. If we are filled, then we're overflowing with the power to minister. We have the wisdom, we have the understanding, we have the sensitivity. We have our radar system is on, and it's at the level it's going at, and it's coming back, and it's getting good feedback, and they're understanding where we are. The best thing is that, as John Kemp said, you know, they don't care how much you know until you know, they know how much you care, and that is showing sensitivity and caring. How many of you on a regular basis, when you see a young person, a youth or something, just stop and say, "Tell me what's going on at school. Tell me what's going on in your life." And they might not want you to tell you, but they'll tell you what they want you to know, right? So that's what we all do, right? We just tell people what we want them to know. We don't tell them everything, because I know our children don't always tell us what's going on. Do they? They think we're nosy if we do. But we're just interesting because we are interested in their life, and we want to help them in any way we can. And that's what Paul is saying here. Show sensitivity. Show caring. Give honest answers. And then he said, then Paul, he was sensitive to the needs and concerns of each person, regardless of their background and weaknesses. You see, sometimes we want to size people up and down if we accept them or reject them or whatever. But Paul, you know, he never rejected anyone. He stooped down to their level. So did Jesus, because when he looked out over the multitudes or people he was ministering to, the Bible says that he had compassion. He had sensitivity. He wanted to know how he could help them. And then finally, he looked for opportunities to tell people about Christ as a solution for life's most difficult problems. See, our responsibility is to help young people know how to gain freedom from fear, want, and self-destructive sinful tendencies. And that's why Paul said, you know, you don't have the fear. Don't have fear, but you have the power of the Holy Spirit working in you, Timothy. And that's what we can share with everybody, that we come across that they have the same thing in their lives as we do if we are willing to take time to share with them. One Sunday evening, William Booth was walking in London, with his son, Bronwell, who was about 12 to 13 years old at that time. And William Booth, he surprised his son by taking him into a saloon. The place was crowded with men and women, many of them bearing on their faces the marks of vice and crime, and some were, you know, distorted a little bit, or they were drunk. And the fumes of alcohol and tobacco were poisonous, according to Booth. William Booth said to his son, "These are our people. These are the people I want you to live for and bring to Christ." That's what William Booth said to Bronwell, his son. Years later, Bronwell wrote in his book, "The Impressions Never Left Me." So what kind of impressions are we making, or what kind of impressions are we leaving on our young people? We're teaching them the right things, the things of God, the things that we know that will help them in making good decisions, or trusting us with their lives, instructing them. I got a note from Haley. Haley's not here today, is she? I don't see her today. Huh? Yeah, that's right. She went on the 13th. She wrote a note. I got it week four last. She says, "Thank you, Pastor Mike, for your messages." Well, see, I didn't know she enjoyed my messages. I don't know if anybody enjoys my messages. But she said, "Thank you for your messages. They have made an impact on my life." You see, whether I know that now, but see, I didn't know that. You see, we need to make impacts on people's life. Whether they tell you or not, at least they know and hope they can use whatever they hear here at church through messages, through your teaching as parents and teachers in the schools, high schools, and so forth. Just like this young man I shared, but he was an architect, and he was going to school, and his teacher impacted him to make good decisions, have the right ideals, and not to just thinking about how to be rich, but how to be great in what you do. And if we are willing to do that, you see, and willing to meet our young people where they are, just like the song that we often sing, "Just As I Am." See, that's how Jesus accepts us, just where we are. That's where we are to meet one another. In order to meet our younger generations today, we've got to meet them where they are. We don't compromise the gospel, but we compromise the way we do things to reach young people and people who do not know Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the scriptures and the leading of your Spirit. Thank you for using men like Paul and disciples, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all of those that you inspired to write what you revealed to them. Lord, your word is a guide for us. It's a way in order for us to know how to live the Christian life, and we have enough information to know how that we can make a decision for you and make you the Lord of our life. And Lord, it's our responsibility as adults also to carry out those responsibilities and pass those on to our younger generations and to those outside the church that doesn't even know you or even stepped inside a church building. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Help us to know exactly how we are to relate to other people, Lord, in life. They're much younger. They're still wanting answers. And Lord, you are the true answer. Help us to be able to relate to the understanding on their level. Lord, we praise you and we thank you that you give us an opportunity to respond to your calling, whatever that might be this morning in each one of our lives. to make a decision to follow you, to make a decision to do a calling that you've placed in each one of our lives, or a calling to be a better witness, to be a better listener to people. Lord, speak to us individually right now as I pray. And let your will be done during this invitation, that we will respond, Lord, in a Christ-like manner. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of